All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shir. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Iyar, an anonymous sponsorship this year with Hakaras HaTov to Hashem for all of the blessings He has bestowed upon us and for Refuah Shlema for Devorah Leah Bas Chaya Rivka. May we all be zochei Meretz Hashem to witness the imminent coming of Mashiach Mehira B'Yameinu. Amen. Beautiful. Our week of learning sponsors, Ari and Haley Lichterman, in memory of Haley's mother, Linda Kotin, Zichrono Livracha, we hope them in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah, and the family, Einucham. And of course, we dedicate our learning today in the source of a tremendous Hakaras HaTov to the Ribono Shel Olam, for the overwhelming miracle that our generation, our previous generation, has witnessed in the founding of Medina Yisrael. And again, as I always say, no matter how you celebrate in this particular day, whether a person says hello, doesn't say hello, with a bracha, without a bracha, those are technical details that are certainly rooted in much machlokes. But at the end of the day, our avoda, every single Jew, has to be filled with profound hakaras hatov, profound gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the fact that we once again have unfettered access to our homeland. The idea that we live in a time where the only thing standing between you and the holy soil of our ancestral homeland is the price of an airline ticket, which these days is quite high. But aside from that, that is the only thing that is standing between us. Not border control, not foreign nations, not immigration quotas. But that, again, should a person decide today that by tomorrow, I want to be in Eretz Yisrael, all it takes is a trip to Newark, all it takes is a trip to JFK, and you're there. Let's say that is a miracle. That is a miracle. My grandparents, Zichron Mevracha, for a good part of their lives, did not have that opportunity. Had they had that opportunity, had their families had that opportunity, the truth is, had millions of Jews had that opportunity, the way Klal Yisrael would look today would be so dramatically different. We can never take that for granted. Is it a perfect state? Absolutely not. Is it a perfect government? Absolutely not. But nothing in this world is perfect. Nothing in this world is perfect. The only thing that is perfect in this entire universe is the Ribono Shel Olam. That's it. If you're not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, by definition, you are riddled with imperfection. But just because something is imperfect doesn't mean it's not magnificent, doesn't mean it's not beautiful, and doesn't mean it's not holy. The Medina Yisrael, the founding of the state, is a Chafetz Shel Kiddusha, Chafetz Shel Geula, and actively brings us closer to Mashiach each and every day. That we have the opportunity to have a homeland that has a proliferation of Torah, that has a proliferation of technology, that has a proliferation of medicine, that with incredible siyata d'shmaya has one of the strongest, fiercest armies in the world. Zenes Nigla, less than a century after 6 million of our brothers and sisters, men, women, and children, were just literally lagva kelis, were slaughtered, were butchered, that we, Baruch Hashem, have the ability to stand strong, that we have the ability to stand confident, that we have the ability to face anti-Semitism today. You know, I would say, you know, in the past, what would have been the Jewish response to anti-Semitism? It would have been to cower. It would have been, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't wear my yarmulke out in public. Maybe I shouldn't. And today it's different. Today it's interesting how we go ahead and we respond to anti-Semitism in a dramatically different way, with a head held high, with a little bit of a chest puffed out. And like, no, we're not going to cower, and we're not going to run, and we're not going to be afraid. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes about this, and he says, the ability of the Jew to counter anti-Semitism with a sense of strength and a sense of self, he says, is a direct result of the founding of the State of Israel. It's because the founding of the state gave us a gava yehudit, gave us a sense of Jewish pride, gave us the ability to say, you know what? We spent thousands of years running. We don't have to run anymore. And even though we are not there, but the knowledge that we have the ability to be there, the knowledge that our brothers and sisters are there, the knowledge that the precious borders of Eretz Yisrael are defended by our army, gives us a sense of pride, gives us a sense of strength, and a sense of resolve to meet our national challenges wherever they are. So today is a day where you must stop for a moment and you must say, Hodu l'Adonai ki tov ki li olam chasdo.
Ribono shel olam, thank you for letting me live in a generation, and in a time where I have a home, where I have access to that home, where I can be with my brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael, in Medinat Yisrael, if I should choose to do so. Osai, when you look at the historical context of our nation, that is a miracle. That is a tremendous and overwhelming miracle. Maybe Zochem Yeretz Hashem to see the continuation of that miracle, because it's still in the beginning. It's Aschalta de Gula. Not that the founding of the state was Aschalta de Gula, to be clear. The founding of the state of Israel was not the beginning of Messianic redemption. Messianic redemption started the moment after the second Beis HaMikdash was set ablaze. That's how Geula works. The moment that destruction occurs, the seeds of Geula are planted. So to say that the state was the Aschalta, the beginning of Geula, that is not true. That is not true. But it certainly is a meaningful and significant step moving us forward. So Rabbi Osei, so make sure today to find your way to express Hakaras HaTov. Whether it's that you're going to give extra staka to Eretz Yisrael causes, whether it's that you're going in your own tefillah to be able to go ahead and just say, Ribon Shalom, thank you. Thank you. I don't take this gift for granted. I don't take this gift for granted. I will say, even the fact that Baruch Hashem is a kehila, we're working hard on establishing this satellite community in Katamonim. Who would have ever thought that such a thing like this was ever possible? Who would have ever thought that such a thing like this was a possibility? I was talking to someone before and I was saying the idea that yesterday, I'm talking the idea that I'm going to be the first person in Eretz Hashem in my family, probably since the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, to be able to help establish a home and a community in Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh. No one in my family in past generations, probably since the times of the second Beis HaMikdash, ever had the opportunity to do that. And that's only possible because of the great miracle that we celebrate and we commemorate and we give Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this day. So however you're going to choose to celebrate it, however you're going to choose to commemorate it, make sure to find your unique way to express your Hakaras HaTov. Well, so with that, let us begin. Today's daf, Mazel Tov, I'm starting the new parak. Today's daf is Ayin Vav 76, and we are picking up Emir Hashem at the new Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Hei on the base 75b. So the Mishnah says as follows. We'll say a really interesting parak ahead of us today. Hasilchar es ha'umnin. So we'll say a person hires workers. Now, we're going to also discuss the idea that there are various types of workers. We'll go through all of them. We're not going to go through them right now. V'hetu ze'adzeh. And they literally, again, deceived each other. Now, it's not clear who's deceiving who in this. Is it the workers deceiving each other? The balabayis, right? The person who's doing the hiring, deceiving the workers. So again, we'll see this in the Gemara. Ein lahem ze'al ze ela taromes. So we'll say they have there is no recourse against each other except taromes. Taromes means that literally they have the complaints, brigis, as they say in the vernacular. Right, so they have no legal complaints against each other. They just can be brigis. Sachar es hachamar v'sakeda lahavi. Brethren. So we'll say if you hired a chamar. Chamar is a donkey driver. Kedar is a potter. So we'll say you hired these individuals. Lahavi Prifrin. Now Prifrin are, Rashi points out over here, interesting. Rashi says, Prifrin is Eitzim Meshupim V'Noim Lasos La'Pirion. This is finished wood to be used to make a chuppah. That's being used to make a chuppah. So I'll say, so if you hire someone, now it's interesting. I understand the chamar. The chamar is the donkey driver, right? So he has a donkey. What does the potter have to do with this? Rashi points out that potters, right, who make pottery, often also have their own transport animals. So the idea over here is I'm hiring the donkey driver, I'm hiring the potter in order to bring shaved wood, right? You know, finished wood for the chuppah. The chalilim, or to bring flutes. I will say, why bring a flute? Either lekala for a chuppah, or the olames, or for a levaya. I will say, they had this interesting, we saw this in Moed Cotton, they had this interesting practice to play, what are they, flautists? Is that the right term for someone, right? Flautists. So to play instruments, you know, it's fascinating, but, right? If you think about it by us, if you talk about like playing music at a levaya, it sounds like crazy. You know where you see this, you do see this, is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, singing by the Bais Rechmana Letzlan, especially when it's a loss because of a terror attack or something, the notion of like shira, of singing by a levaya as a way of expressing collective grief, is very profound and very powerful. So they would have the, and again, it's not new. I mean, for us it seems new, but again, the Gemara talks about this idea that they'd have these flautists. They would play the flute. So you hired someone to bring wood, or you hired someone to bring flutes. Either again for the mace, for levaya or lekala, lekala or the mace, or polo nahalos pishtanam in a mishra. Or for that matter, you hired workers to go ahead and take your flax out of the water. Remember again, you soak flax, and the chap over here is you need someone to take it out. Now the idea, the common denominator over here is, I hired workers for anything that's called a davra avod. Davra avod means something that if you don't do it now, there is going to be a material loss, right? We're going to discuss that there are two different types of work. I can hire someone to do something, and the truth is, if they back out, it's not a big deal. In other words, it's a big deal, but I'm not going to suffer a loss. I just need to find someone else to go ahead and do the work. But if I don't find someone else for a day, a two, or even a week, it's fine. Versus a davra avod, which is a job that needs to get done right now. So these examples over here, right? I need someone to go ahead and bring wood for the chuppah, right? So again, the chuppah is happening today. I need it done today. Or I need flutes for the chuppah or for the levaya. That's happening today. Or I need someone to take the flax out from the water. That's happening today. So if those things don't get done today, then at the end of the day, there's a material loss. There's a material loss. So what's the halacha? So the chazru bahen. So we'll say, so now what happens? The workers reneged. Now, we'll say, we're going to talk about these. This is a case over here of where the workers walked off the job. So what's the halacha? Makom she'in sham adam. So we'll say, so now what happens if halacha l'maisa? So we're going to see two scenarios. Again, it's like a lot of sub-cases. So I hired workers to go ahead and bring wood for the chuppah. Let's make it a positive case, right? Or flutes for the chuppah. And now what happens? I hired them and then they reneged. So we'll say, so now I need to find someone now to do this because this is a davra avod. So obviously, if it's easy to find replacement workers, then what? Hire replacement workers. Okay. So the Gemara says, but what if it's Mbakum She'in Sham Adam? We'll say, what if it's a place where it's not easy to find replacement workers? You know, what do we do then? Socher Alehem. Then I will say, we see you could hire new workers. And again, I will say the chap over here is you could go ahead and hire new workers at even a much higher price. You see, sometimes in order to get last minute labor, that's going to be at a premium. So you could go ahead and hire new workers even at a premium. Or the balabas could trick the workers that he hired. Now we'll discuss what all of these things mean in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, omitan, right? Or ultimately, again, you could trick them. So again, I will say, the idea over here is we begin to see, again, we'll see all this in the Gemara, but begin to see something very interesting, that if you hire workers and they walk out on you, and it's easy enough to go ahead and find new labor, you don't really have recourse. If workers walked out on you, and it's a davra avod, whatever the work you hired them to do was something for which there is a material loss, if it doesn't get done, then lemaisa, you could hire new workers even at a higher price, or you could trick the current workers you have. Now, when we speak about you could hire workers at a higher price, so what does it mean? Of course, I could do whatever I want. What does it mean? We're going to see what it means is, technically speaking, you could potentially pass that elevated cost onto the workers who walked out on you. Again, so we'll get into all of this in just a little bit. So we'll say, ultimately, again, if you hired workers, I hired workers, and then what? And then ultimately, again, the workers started to work, and then I reneged on the workers. So you both say, case number one is where the workers reneged on me. They walked off the job. Case number two is I hired workers, and they did a little bit of work, and then I said, guys, I'm done with you. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Yodam al hatachtona. Right? I'm sorry, chazubayin. And ultimately, I'm sorry, then they walked off the job. So what's that? Case number two, we're going to be mechali. Case number two is where, ultimately, again, the workers did some of the work and then walked off the job. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Yodam al hatachtona. Ultimately, again, they have the lower hand. Top of Ayin Vav 76a, in Balabayis Chozerbo, if the Balabayis reneged against them, so Yodo al hatachtona, then he has the lower hand. Why? Because the Mishnah espouses a principle, Kala Mishana Yodo al hatachtona. We'll say, here it is. At the end of the day, whoever changes the agreement has the lower hand, which is intuitive, right? So in other words, when you have a contract with someone, you have an agreement with someone, and then you change the terms of the agreement, at the end of the day, you have the lower hand. V'chala chozer bo, similarly again, whoever goes ahead and recants or retracts, chozer bo means you go back on your word, yado ala tachtona. Ultimately, again, has the lower hand. Okay, so we'll say, so that last principle, so essentially what we've seen in the Mishnah, both say, is that there are, we'll go through all of this, but there are a number of different cases in which you could have a change in an employment agreement, right? So case number one, well, we don't have to go through all of them again, but bottom line is, whoever reneges, has the lower hand. Now, what that means, practically speaking, Emir Tashem, we will see in here. I will say, there's a Biasua quoted in the name of Baal Shem Tov, that this is a beautiful idea, this Lashon of Kala, Mashana Yadu Ala Tachtona. What does that mean? So again, the way we translate it is, if you change the agreement, you have the lower hand. If you go back on the agreement, you have the lower hand. So I saw quoted a beautiful idea that what it also means is as follows. Kala Mashana. I will say, there are people who make mistakes in their past. By people, I mean all of us, right? We make mistakes in our past, and we spend so much time lamenting and trying, wishing we could go back and change what has happened. The Gemara says, Kala Mashana, if you spend your life trying to go back and change the past, Yado Al HaElyon, Yado Al HaTachtona. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. You can't change the past. The past is what it is, and to spend your life energy lamenting it, to spend your life energy trying to change it, Yado Al HaTachtona, it's not going to work. Similarly, V'chol HaChozer Bo, anyone who tries to constantly live a retrospective life, anyone who tries to go ahead and constantly go back, constantly go ahead and try to figure out, if only I didn't do this, or if only I did this, Yada ala tachtona. Ultimately, again, he has the lower hand. To live a retrospective life, to live a life where I'm constantly reliving and regretting and having remorse over the past and wishing I could do things differently, again, there's certainly a part of that is tshuva, but to spend your life doing that, Yado ala tachtona, such a person is going to lead an underaccomplished life. One has to let the past be the past, learn from it, grow from it, yes, have a certain element of charata over it, but then put the bulk of your energies into maximizing your present and your future. That's such a beautiful idea. Says the Gemara, Chazru Zeba Zalo Katani, it doesn't say that they reneged against each other, rather it says, Ele Hitu Ze'edzeh. Rather, it says they both say that they misled each other. So the Gemara says, so who are we talking about? So both say, so here's what's interesting. The Gemara is making the following distinction. Chazru would mean someone reneged. Now I will say, when you're talking about reneging, who's reneging on who? That's either the balabais. I also remember again, the balabais is the, what do we call him? We'll call him the employer, right? The poalim are the employees. So chazru would mean the employer went ahead and reneged, all right? Went back on the agreement with the employees, or the employees reneged on the employer. That would be the lashon of chazru. Somebody went back on the agreement. Hitu is someone misled. Someone misled. So the Gemara says, Chazru Zeba Zelo Katani. The Mishnah doesn't say Chazru, right? It says, Asochar Sapolim Vehitu Zeze. Someone hired workers and they misled each other. So if it would have said Chazru, I would have understood talking about a case of the Balabais reneging against the employer against the employees, or the employees against the employer. So Hitu Zeze, but it doesn't say that. What does Hitu mean? Da'atu Polim Hadadi. It must mean the workers misled each other. I will say, now, what's the case of the workers misleading each other? Hey, Ridami, here we go. This is very interesting. The Amrli Balabais. Shabbos say, now watch this. The Balabais says, Zil Ogir Li Paulim. Shabbos say, so watch this. The Balabais says to Reuven, go out and hire me workers. Go out and hire me workers. Okay? Zil Ogir Li Paulim. Va'azil Ihu, Va'ateinhu. And Reuven went out and Reuven misled the workers. That's what happened over here. So again, essentially, also you have three parties over here in this transaction. You have Reuven, who is the Balabais. I should say, you have Balabais, which is called Balabais. Balabais hires Reuven. Reuven hired the workers. Reuven hires the workers, but he misleads them. Okay, Hekidami, what happened? So listen, I watch this. If Balabais said, Reuven, go ahead, hire me 4 workers at 4 zuz a day. Now, I just want to point that over here. We're going to talk about 2 different types of workers. There's something called the schir yom. A schir yom is literally a day laborer. You pay him a fixed amount of money for a day of work. Versus a kablon.
Kavlan is someone who you hire to do a job. So that, you really get paid by the job. And however long or short the job takes, that's the amount of money that you are making. So listen, now watch this. If we're talking about over here, so if we're talking about over here, where the Baal HaBayis said to Reuven, hire me some day laborers, and I'm willing to pay a rate of 4 zuz a day. Okay. So the Gemara said, what happened? V'azul yu amr l'tlasa. So let's see now what happens. Reuven goes out. Reuven hires the workers, but he hires them at 3 zuz a day. So maybe that's the case of Hitu, right? So now Reuven, who's also a worker, is misleading the other workers, because really the Baal HaBayis said 4 zuz a day, and Reuven is hiring them at 3 zuz a day. Well, if that's the case, the Gemara says, Tarum es maya vidite, sever v'kabel. I don't understand. What recourse do the workers have? The workers knew, right? The workers allowed themselves to be hired for 3 zuz a day. So that's the amount that they heard. That's the amount that they accepted. That's it. Shalom Yisrael. There's nothing more to talk about. Why are we having any more conversation about this? The Gemara says, Idam li Baal HaBayis betlasa, va'azal ihu arulu barba. So let's see now, watch this. Now, what about, maybe it was the reverse case. Baal HaBayis said, Reuven, go hire me workers for 3 zuz a day. And what happened? Reuven hired them for 4 zuz a day. So the Gemara says, va'azal ihu arulu barba, heich idam. So now, let's analyze this a bit more. The Gemara says, So now, if when Reuven hired the workers, Reuven said, guys, I'm hiring you on behalf of Baal HaBayis for 4 zuz a day, and I, Reuven, am guaranteeing your wages, then nasib lemi didei. Then Reuven's on the hook for that. I was like, if Reuven came along and Reuven said, guys, I'm hiring you on behalf of Baal HaBayis, and the wage is 4 zuz, and I, Reuven, guarantee the wage, then that's on Reuven. Right, Baal HaBayis only guaranteed how much? 3 zuz. Reuven, you want to be generous? You want to be generous and offer 4 zuz? No problem. But that's on you. The Sanhedrin both said this is actually a great case. We're going to see. Well, this is a very exciting parak that has a lot to do with. These cases come up all of the time. The Sanhedrin, watch this. Hasochar sapal asas b'shalo. Both say now, watch this. The Braisa says, I go ahead and I hire a worker to work on my field. And what happens there? Oh, b'shal chaveiro. But you know, this is an interesting case. I hire someone to work on my field, but then I take the worker to Reuven's field. Right? Then I have the worker do work on Reuven's field. So what's the halacha? No sin lo schara mishalim. So I have to pay the worker, right? Since I hired the worker, I have to pay the worker his wage. V'chozer v'nolto mi Baal HaBayis ma she'no. I can then go back to Reuven and charge Reuven for the hanah he got. So we'll say, there's a lot being thrown at us over here. We're going to see this concept that we'll say that when someone does something actively beneficial for you, even if you didn't ask for it, you still have to pay for it. Now, again, what you have to pay, how we evaluate the service, we'll see. The point over here, I will say, is that when I hire a worker, right, that's on me. So going back to our case over here, if halacha lemaisa Baal HaBayis told Reuven, go and hire workers for me for 3 zuz a day. Reuven goes and hires workers and he says, Chevra, I'm hiring you for a wage of 4 zuz a day. Right? And schar chem alai, salary is on me. So again, that's it. Reuven committed himself. Baal HaBayis is only on the hook for 3 zuz. Reuven is on the hook for 4 zuz. So what's the issue? We are lo tzricha de amar lehu scharchem al Baal HaBayis. Okay. So Reuven's a smart guy. Reuven is not taking personal responsibility. So what does Reuven do? So we'll say, just to illustrate the case over here. So the case over here is, Baal HaBayis tells Reuven, go hire workers for me. How much? 3 zuz a day. Reuven goes out and he hires workers for 4 zuz a day. And he says, Chevra, don't worry. I know the Baal HaBayis. He's a good guy. He's good for it. The workers do the work, right? And now again, they want to get paid 4 zuz. Blah, blah. So what I'm talking about, I only committed myself to 3 zuz. So this would be a case of, so remember, all the Gemara is trying to do over here is to define the opening phrase of the Mishnah. Hasochar esso omnen vehitu ze. Somebody hired workers. And the worker, that we're assuming it means, the workers deceived each other. So we'll say, what's the case of the workers deceiving each other again? Baal HaBayis says to Reuven, hire me workers for 3 zuz. Reuven hires them for 4 zuz. And Reuven says, guys, don't worry about it. The Baal HaBayis is good for it. Workers do the work. They come to get paid. Baal HaBayis gives them 3 zuz. So the workers say, 3 zuz. Reuven told us, 4 zuz. So Baal HaBayis could say, guys, I'm so sorry. I don't know what happened over here, but I only guaranteed 3 zuz. Therefore, the Mishnah says, Ein lahem zeh al zeh, ela taromes. There's no legal recourse there.
There's no legal recourse there. All they can do, all the workers could do, is be bregis with balabayis. The Gemara says, "Damalu schachem al balabayis." Aye. Velech say Paul and Hechem Niskari. So I say, but why don't we look at what is the normal going wage for workers? Right? In other words, there's got to be a standard. So do workers get hired at 3 zuz a day or 4 zuz a day? To which the Gemara says, no, lo tzricha di'ika demiska ba'arba, mi'ika demiska betlasa. I will say in the labor market, there's a range. So therefore, again, 3 zuz is normal, 4 zuz is normal. So the Gemara says, da'amr lehu, because the workers could say, ilav da'amrit lan barba, tachinon umiskron barba. So we'll say, so the workers could say, look, you know what, it's not right, because we only agreed to work for balabayis, because Reuven told us that he was hiring for 4 zuz. Had he not told us that, we would have declined the job, and we would have looked for a different job, that you can get for 4 zuz. All right, ibay sema. So we'll say, so remember, we're just trying to figure out what the first line of the Mishnah means. So we are assuming right now, hire workers, hitu zedzeh must mean that the workers are deceiving each other. So we're trying to figure out what is the case of worker deception. Ibay sema, the Gemara says, maybe another possibility is, hacha balabayis askinon. Maybe the case of us is really dealing with balabayis is deceiving them. Da'amrulay, Ilo da amrit lan barba hav. Sorry. Hachamai askinan. Sorry. Ibai seima babalabayis askinan. So we'll say, watch this. I'm saying maybe the case is where the workers themselves are also landowners. So we'll say, so the day laborers that you're hiring also own their own land. So therefore, we'll say they say da amrit lahu ilav da amrit lan barba havazele ba milson lan skure. They say to Reuven, or they say to balabayis. The only reason we agreed to be a day laborer is because you were offering a wage of 4 zuz a day. Had we realized that you were not offering 4 zuz a day, we would have never accepted this employment. Why? Because it's degrading for us. We're landowners ourselves, right? So to accept day employment is beneath our dignity. We only did it because at the end of the day, it was good money. But now that I realize that it's not good money, we would have never accepted it. Okay, Ibai, some of the other possibility is Bepol Maskinon. We're talking about the workers themselves. The Amrile, Kevan the Amritlan Ba'arba, Tarchinon Va'avdinon Lecha Avidita Shapirta. So I will say this is very interesting. So what happens? So again, I will say same case of where the laborers, right? So again, Balabayis tells Reuven, go hire me workers for 3 zuz. Reuven goes out and he goes ahead and he says to the workers, I'm hiring you guys, I'm having balabais for 4 zuz. They come to get paid. Balabais gives them 3 zuz. Like, hey, what's going on over here? We're entitled to 4 zuz. And furthermore, because you are giving us a higher wage, we did a better job. I will say, by the way, this is such a fascinating Gemara. I will say, this I think is such a... You can tell a lot about a person. I will say, there are some people who will only give you the amount of effort commensurate with what they are getting paid. Right? In other words, if I'm getting paid X, I'm going to give you X. That's all. I'm not giving you any more than that. And I will say, there are some people who take tremendous pride in what it is that they do and try to give 100% to everything they do, independent, not fully independent, but somewhat independent of the wage that they are receiving. And so I've often found that generally, that is the distinction between successful people and mediocre people. Mediocre people will do what they need to do to get by, will do what they need to do to quote-unquote earn the wage, and nothing more. Successful people ultimately take tremendous pride in whatever it is that they're putting their mind to and will roll up their sleeves and get the job done in a meaningful and powerful way. Giving 100%, even if their remuneration is not... So I remember in my first Rabbanus position, I was an assistant rabbi, and it was a part-time position, and I met with the senior Rav, big tzaddik, Rabbi Binyamin Yudin, and he said, the only thing part-time about this job is the salary. So the only thing part-time about this job is the salary. It was the most important thing that anyone ever said to me in my life. Because what he was saying is, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do it, then do not calculate the amount of effort you're going to put in based on the amount of money that you are receiving. because then you'll get by, you'll earn your salary, and you won't make a difference. If you want to make a difference, give it 100%, even though you are only getting paid for 50% of your time. It was the most transformative piece of Eitzah that I ever received in my entire life. And I will say, it's not just about what you do as an employee. It's about what you do in life. And I will say, when you do something, I will say, how many times do we do things and we do them 80%? Why? If you're going to do it 80%, then just, don't do it. If it's meaningful enough to do it, then do it 100%. Again, you can't always come through 100%. You always can't always actualize 100% of results. But if you're going to do it, then put your full self into it. So the Gemara goes weiter. So what happens? The guy says, you hired me for 4 zuz. I did a 4 zuz job. Had I known that you were hiring me for 3 zuz, I would have given you a 3 zuz job. So the Gemara says, I just want to point out, this Yisod, I will say, you have to plug it into everything. If you're going to learn, you're going to be Kaveya, that you're doing the Daf, so give it your all. Just, again, I don't mean give it your all, like quit your day job and just do the Daf. I mean, like, so you're allocating time towards it, so give it 100% of the time. Right? Whatever you're going to do, you're home for dinner with your kids, put your phone away, take off your iWatch, right? And be there 100% of the time. Whatever it is you're davening. Again, if you're going to daven 100% of the time that you're davening. Just don't get distracted. Don't be doing other things. The problem is, we do so many things and we just do them 80% of the way. So suddenly, I'm a 3 zuz guy. In other words, you pay me for 3 zuz, I'm 3 zuz. Instead, life is all about, even if you're getting paid 3 zuz, give 4 zuz worth of work. Whatever you're going to do, give it 100%, or maybe it's not worth doing. In other words, if there's something in life that you don't really want to give 100% to, it could very well be that it's not kedai to do it, and you should put your efforts elsewhere. But if you're going to do it, be focused. If you're going to do it, give it your attention. And if you're going to do it, then do 4 zuz worth of work. Such an incredible Gemara. So the Gemara goes back there. So the Gemara says, "I velechzei." So the Gemara says, "I velechzei." So we'll say, why don't we look at his work? And see, did the worker give 3 zuz worth of work or 4 zuz worth of work? Barifka. We're talking about a ditch. He dug a ditch. So apparently, he says, I only dug a I dug a 4 zuz ditch. The Gemara says, it's the type of work where you can't really see the quality. The Gemara says, that's not true. Rivka nami meida yada. You could see the quality of work in anything and everything. Even in a ditch, I will say. So apparently, again, I guess if you're well versed in ditches, you could see what a good dish looks like and what a bad dish looks like. Which is the Mali Maya. No, because the dish is filled with water. So now I will say, we can't see. I can't really see. Did he do a 3 zuz job or a 4 zuz job? The Gemara says, Velo yadia. Ibai says, another possibility is the Amr Leolam, the Amr Le Balabai Ispar Ba, Va'azal Ihu, Amr Lu Betlasa. So we'll say, let's go back. Remember, we'll say, we're laser focused over here. We're just trying to figure out what is the Mishnah talking about. That's it. So the Gemara says, what's the case? The case is where Balabais said to Ruvain, Balabais said, Ruvain, hire me workers for 4 zuz. Ruvain goes out, and ultimately, again, he hires workers for 3 zuz. The Gemara says, now, beforehand, we dismiss this case. Why do we dismiss this case? So we'll say, so ultimately, again, because we said, look, the workers accepted that, right? In other words, Ruvain said 3 zuz. The workers said, okay. So at the end of the day, they accepted it. So that's not really a case. Which Gemara says, the Amrilei, Les Lecha Al Timna Tov Mibailov. And we'll say, they do have a taina. What's their taina? They say to Ruvain, the Pasek Emishli, Al Timna Tov Mibailov, do not withhold good from the owners of that good or the recipients of that good. In other words, they say to Ruvain, why would you do that? Now, I understand that Ruvain would do that, right? Why would Ruvain do that? Because Ruvain's hoping that he could pocket the extra zuz per worker. That's why he's doing it, right? But Lamaisa, what they're tining is, I will say, is the Balabais is willing to pay us 4. So it's true, be accepted at your rate of 3, but why would you withhold that from us? I will say, and the Gemara says, while that's an impassioned plea, it's not a halachic argument. And at the end of the day, if they went ahead and they accepted three, they accepted three, and there's nothing more to talk about. All right, so pshita. So here we go. So pshita, I amrali balabayis bitlasa va'azal iu amrali ba'arba. So we'll say, now watch this. So therefore, we're assuming right now that the opening phrase of the Mishnah, of Hasokhar Esa Omnin Vehitu Ze'edze, is talking about the following case. Balabayis engaged Ruvain to hire workers, and Ruvain hired them at a wage different than the Balabayis. So the easiest way to illustrate this is, Balabayis said 4 zuz, Ruvain says 3 zuz, they accept 3 zuz, then they found out, hey, he was willing to pay 4 zuz, Ein lahem ze'al ze'ela taromis. There's no legal recourse. Rather, you know, say all they have the right to do is to be breges. You do have a right in life to be breges. It is not going to get you anywhere, but you absolutely have that entitlement to sit and to stew and to brew and to be upset and to be breges, right? That is your right. You are entitled. We live in a very entitled time. Everyone is entitled to something. Now the Mishnah tells us you are entitled to be breges. Fine, but no legal recourse. So the Gemara says, now we transition to a different kind of case. So pshita, I amrali balabayis bitlasa. Watch this. So if the balabayis, right? Balabayis said three zuz, right? Va'asa iu va'amrali ba'arba, and Ruvain, who's engaged, hired the workers for 4. Va'amri le kimasha amr balabayis. So I'll say, now watch this. Now the workers, that was in after you learn this parak, right? You recognize that whenever you're getting hired by someone on behalf of the Balabayis, you always recognize that once. There may be a differential between what Ruvain is telling you what the Balabayis is actually saying. So therefore, these workers are smart. So what do the workers say? The workers say, Va'amrulei kimasha amr Balabayis. Right? The workers say, you know what? Ruvain, thank you. Yes, we accept. And we accept on whatever terms the Balabayis himself said. So we'll say, so therefore what? Datayu ayiluya. So obviously, again, their intention is for what? For the forces, right? They have a feeling that maybe, again, Ruvain is going ahead and underselling the job. So they accept whatever the Balabayis says. And when they see that lashon, we accept this employment in accordance with the terms of the Balabayis, they are accepting the higher amount. Ella, I amrali Balabayis ba'arba va'azul iu amrali b'tlasa. I will say, what happens in the following case? What happens if the Balabayis says, right? The Balabayis says, I'm sorry. I reversed that case. Balabayis was saying 3. Ruvain said 4. So they go ahead and they say whatever the Balabayis said. So it says, obviously their intention is for the higher wage of the 4. Ela'i amrali Balabayis barba. Va'azal'i amrali betlasa. We'll say, what happens now? And I will say, because in that case, because Ruvain is putting forth the higher amount, obviously their das is for the higher amount. Right? That's obvious. That's for the higher amount. What happens in the following case? Balabayis said 4. Ruvain comes along and says 3. Va'amri kimash amr Balabayis. And they say, in accordance with what the Balabayis told you. So we'll say, so now the shaila is mai. Adibura di deka samchi da amrle mehem nislan da hachi amr Balabayis. Odima adibura di Balabayis kasamchi. And I will say, now the Gemara is asking a more yisodistic question. Right? So in this case over here, Balabayis went ahead and said 3. Sorry, Balabayis said 4. Right? Ruvain comes along and hires them for 3. The way they accept this employment is by saying what? Whatever the Balabayis told you, we accept. So Moses says, now the shaila is, what do they accept? Do we assume that what they're accepting that they're accepting the 4 of the Balabayis, that they're not really trusting what Ruvain said, but they remember whatever the Balabayis said? Or no, Ruvain is the one who's engaging them, and therefore they take Ruvain's word at face value, and therefore, again, they accept Ruvain's offer. That's the shaila. So Moses said, this is a more yisodistic question. Now, the reason why this case is different is because they're accepting the employment by saying, Da'amri, Kimasha Amar Balabayis. In this case, they're accepting the employment by saying, Ruvain, we accept with whatever terms the Balabayis said. So what does that mean? Does that mean they're accepting Ruvain's word, or they're going with the Balabayis' word? So I will say, so in a case where the Balabayis said 3 and Ruvain said 4, so it's clear they're going with the higher wage. But in a case where the Balabayis said 4 and Ruvain's saying 3, so I will say, so what do you do? And they say, we accept with the terms of the Balabayis. Are they accepting Ruvain's terms of 3 or the Balabayis' terms of 4? To which one is supposed to say, this is a great case. Tashma. Havei legiti v'ishtecha amr iskav legiti. So we'll say, watch this. Ruvain is married to Rachel and they're getting divorced. Rachel hires a shaliach. Rachel tells her shaliach, bring me my get. bring me my gift. Now, both say, now she is appointing, remember from our Gittin days, a shliach le kabbalah, right? A shliach to accept, to go ahead, I'm sorry. A shliach le holacha, excuse me. She is accepting a shliach to bring her the get, not to accept it on her behalf. Right? Remember again, a shliach le kabbalah acquires the get on her behalf. So she appoints a shliach, bring me my get. The shliach misrepresents himself in front of Reuven, the husband, and he says, Reuven, give me the get, and I will acquire it on behalf of Rachel. So what's the halacha? V'hu omer heilach kima she'amra, and Reuven, the husband, says, okay, listen, take the get, and just take it as my wife said, as Rachel said. So Rabbi say, what's the halacha over here? Amra nachun, amra abarabu, amra av, afilu higie get liyada'in amigurashas. So Rav said, Rabbi say, even if the get gets to her hands, she is not divorced. Why not? Shamas mina adibura didei kasamech. So we'll say, what do you see from here? That when there is, that we accept the wording of the shaliach. So the husband, when he gives over the get to the shaliach, is taking the shaliach at his word. The shaliach says that is a shaliach lekabbalah, right? And therefore, again, the husband is accepting that. So therefore, we'll say, when the husband gives the get, he's giving it to a shaliach lekabbalah. The problem is that what? She's not a shaliach lekabbalah. Therefore, there's no divorce. Because if you say that we go with her word, so the Gemara says, she should at least be divorced when the get actually reaches her hands. To which the Gemara says, Rav Ashi says, no, I'm a base. Hachi hashta. So I say, therefore, the Gemara wants to suggest, let's plug this back into our case. What's our case, Rav Ashi? The Balabayas said four, right? Shliach said three. Reuven said three. Workers say, Kimash Omar Balabayas. We accept the terms of the plum as the Balabayas said. So based on this, what should we say? They accept the three. Because they're accepting ultimately, because what we do is we take the word of the Shaliach. We take the word of the Shaliach at face value as representative of the Das, of the Mishaliach, of the principle. So just like in the get case, Reuven is assuming he's giving the get to a shliach lekabbalah. So too, again, the workers assume that Reuven is representing the das of the balabayis. And therefore, again, Reuven is saying three, that must be the balabayis is saying as well. To which the Gemara says, no. The cases are not comparable. Hachi hashta, bishtama I itmar ipcha, hiskabe ligiti, vishtacha amrahave ligiti. So both said by the get case, if he would have said the opposite, right? The opposite being, Rachel would have said to shaliach, accept the get on my behalf. And now when Shliach shows up, he tells the husband, Ishtacha amr li haveli giti, I'm Shliach lekabbalah. V'hu omer heilach kimosha amra, and Reuven says to the Shliach, take the get as my wife told you. V'amrav nachman arav aravu amrav, mishiagia get yado migureshas. Ultimately, again, once the get reaches Shliach's hands, she's migureshas. Why? Because the Shliach lekabbalah. Ama dadibura dido kasamech. That would show you that ultimately, again, we're relying on her words. Inami, mishiyegia get liyada migureshes. Or when the get reaches her hands, ultimately, again, she should be migureshes. Ama, tadibura didaka samach. Because then that would show that we're relying on her words. This case is different. Elahasa mishum da akar shliach lishlichuse legamre. They both say the get case is a different case. In the get case, Rachel made the shaliach a shliach laholacha, transport shliach. The shaliach made himself into a shliach lekabbalah. What was he effectively doing? The akar shliach lishlichuse legamre. The shliach is essentially totally uprooting his shlichus. The amar lei shliach lekabbalah havina laholacha lo havina. Both say in that case of Gittin, he's totally uprooting his shlichus. And what he's saying is, she made me into a shliach leholacha. I don't want to be a shliach leholacha. My whole life, all I wanted to be was a shliach lekabbalah. I hereby repudiate that shlichus, and hereby again give myself a new shlichus. That sounds beautiful, except that what? You can't give yourself a new shlichus. The shlichus that you get is the shlichus that you have. And you can't go ahead and suddenly decide, I want the new shlichus. It's true in Gittin, and it's true in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us each a shlichus as well. Where we each have a mission. We each have an agency. So you may decide you don't like the shlichus. You want something else. That's fine. You can say it, but it doesn't work. The shlichus that you are given is the shlichus that you have in Eretz Hashem until you fulfill your mission. So therefore, we'll say that's why the Gittin case doesn't work. But by our case, ultimately, again, it's not a raya. So remember again, our entire Gemara so far is trying to figure out one simple thing, which is, what is the meaning ultimately, again, of of the opening Mishnah. I will say now, I just want to point out that last piece, the Gemara leaves a little bit unresolved, right? So the Gemara says over here, this last piece, when the workers say, right, again, Balabais said 4, right, Reuven said 3, workers said, Kimasha Omer Balabais. We accept the terms of the employment as the Balabais said. What does that mean? What does that mean? Are they accepting the Shali, right? Are they accepting Reuven's words as well as the Balabais? Or no, they're literally saying, Reuven, we almost don't care what you're saying. Whatever the Balabais said, that's where we're going. So we'll say, that's unresolved. That's still floating out there. So we'll say, but now we're back to our original question. What's our original question? What is the opening phrase of the Mishnah? Hasokra esapolin vihitu zed zed. So we'll say, here we go, watch this. So up until now, we've been assuming that the first case of the Mishnah is talking about where the workers are deceiving each other. How are the workers deceiving each other? That there are essentially three parties over here. Who are the three parties? Party number one, Balabais. Balabais is engaging Reuven, who himself is a worker, to hire other workers. Where is the deception occurring? Between Reuven and the other workers. Now the Gemara says, watch this. I'll say, here we go. Maybe not. Iboy Seymo. Hai Tano Chazru Nami Hitu Karile. Wow. Maybe not. I will say, maybe our Tana holds that the word Chazru and Hitu. Now, I will say, remember again, in our Mishnah, we thought that there are two different terms. Chazru. What does Chazru mean? Reneging. Whenever you have reneging, who is engaging in the reneging? Who's engaging in that? Workers and Balabais. Right? That means either employee is reneging on the employer, or employer is reneging on the employee. Versus hitu, which means workers are deceiving each other. Gemara says, maybe not. Maybe I will say the Tana of our Mishnah uses the word hitu and chazru interchangeably. And therefore, even hitu, misleading, could mean the employee is misleading the employer, or the employer is misleading the employee. Ibai Seymo, hai Tana chazru nami hitu karli. Disanyo, hasokha sa'omnin, person hired workers, the hitu as balabayis, and they deceive the workers, they deceive the balabayis. O Balabais hitu osan, or the Balabais deceive them. Ein lahem ze al ze ela taromes. All they have is brightness, brightiskeit. So I'll say, when is that true? Shelo holchu, when they did not yet go to the job. Okay, so we'll say, so again, we'll get into this in just a moment. So we'll say, the point over here is the Gemara is suggesting, it's incredible. We spent an entire Amud assuming that hitu means workers are deceiving each other, and that's the opening phrase of the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, by the way, maybe not. Maybe hitu and chazru are interchangeable. And maybe the opening line of the Mishnah is also talking about workers deceiving an employer, or an employer deceiving workers. Now we'll say, let's delve into this case. Here we go. So the Gemara says, Disanya, sochres omnin vihitu balabais. Person hires workers, and the workers go ahead and deceive. We'll use the word deceive, although hitu doesn't have to mean deceive. We'll use the word deceive. Hitu as balabais, o balabais hitu as ausan. So while the employer deceives the employees deceive the employer, all they have is brightness on each other. That's it. No legal claim. The Rav says, well, when is that so? When is that so? Shalo holchu. So I will say, that's only assuming that what? That halacha l'maisa, they have not gone to the job. Rashi says, Rav say, second one by Rashi, b'shalo holchu, l'makum hamalacha u'baboker amarlan chozrani bi. So we'll say, when is it true that they have no legal recourse against each other? So for example, Balabais hires workers to work his field. And we'll say, what happens? The morning before they leave, Balabais says, forget it. So they haven't gone to the job. That's when they have no legal recourse. So the Gemara says, by the way, this is actually very interesting, because the Gemara seems to be saying, one second, the workers could have said to Reuven, they could say to the Balabais, what? But we could have accepted other employment. So the Gemara says, it sounds like what the Gemara is saying is, that's not a claim. So as long as Balabais canceled on them before they went to the job site, they have no legal recourse. Aval, holchu chamar v'lo matza tvua. But if Balabais hired donkey drivers, and what happened? The donkey drivers went and they did not find any wheat to transport. Or Poland, umaza sadek kishilacha, was an interesting case. Or a hired work, right? Balabais hired workers to work his field, and they came to the field, and the field was wet. So because of that, they couldn't work the soil. So we'll say, what's that halacha? No sein lahen scharan mishalim. You have to pay him.
You have to pay him. So Balabais hired workers to go ahead and transport his wheat. But Balabais didn't have the wheat ready. Not my problem. Workers say, not my problem. You owe us a wage. Or I hired workers to go ahead and work my field. But the field was wet. Couldn't be worked. Sorry, right? Not the worker's fault. You still have to pay a full wage. However, we'll say first wide line. Aval ino dome habal ta'un lavo reikon. Obviously, you have to pay, but you don't have to pay the same wage. Why, Abba saying? Because remember again, if I'm a donkey driver, I have to pay the donkey driver. But there's a difference between paying a donkey driver to pay to transport an empty wagon versus a full wagon, right? Or for that matter, to go ahead and come to a field and work. Versus not a field to do the work. So we'll say, so what's interesting is you have to pay the wage, but at the end of the day, it's not the same wage. So you hear this? So in other words, if the worker shows up, so again, we'll say two models. I cancel on the worker before the worker goes to work, no taina on me. He has no claims against me. That's case one. Worker shows up, and ultimately, again, the work is not ready for him to do. The field is flooded, can't do anything. Or the merchandise is not there. And therefore, halacha l'maaseh, he can't transport it. So in those cases, they have to pay him, but not a full wage. Not a full wage, whatever, some type of calculator, which we'll discuss. So the Gemara says, when is this so? Shelo eschilu b'melacha. So we'll say, so when is this so? This is so ultimately, again, if the workers did not begin a job. So we'll say, now this is a third case. Workers didn't begin a job. So we'll say, if workers began a job, and then what? And then ultimately, again, the job was stopped. We pay them for the work that they did. So we'll say, we'll get into this in just a little bit. Ketzad. So we'll say, here we go. These are all, I will say, again, I know it's a challenge now of cases, but in a minute, so we're going to pull it out. I will say, these are fascinating cases. Ketzad. Kiblu kama liktzar b'shnei son. We'll say, watch this. I hired workers. Right, I'm becoming the Bala boss now. I hired the workers to harvest my field for two slum. So we'll say, so just because we're going to need this in just a second. Two slum is the equivalent of 8 dinarim, right? One sela is 4 dinar. So I hired the worker to go ahead and harvest my field. All right, well, so you know what? Stop over for today. We'll pick up. We are right on schedule. We are fine. Thursday is a shorter daf. We'll say these are great cases. We got through Ezehu Neshech, right? Just fine. Emir HaShem will get through this just fine as well. So tomorrow, now, what we did today is kind of outline the principles. Emir HaShem, tomorrow, we'll plug it into the cases. Shkoyach. All right, Chavra Zoom. Have a great day, everyone.